Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest, Barry Trammell, lifelong Oklahoman sports fan, joined the Oklahoman in the early 90s, if I have my math right. Beat writer, assistant sports editor, sports columnist. He's the guy over there, and he's joining us over here. How you doing, Barry Trammell?
I'm good, John. How's things in Portland?
It's weird. These are weird times, and your kids are getting homeschooled, and we're all kind of cautiously optimistic that we're going to see some sports and that maybe we've turned a corner. What's going on in Oklahoma?
Similar, although, I was more worried about you guys than us in terms of getting started, but it seems like even out west we've had some momentum going. So, so that's got me a little bit optimistic.
I'm kind of at the point where I feel like the governor in Oregon was very cautious and very conservative when she came out with her statement, and she really didn't realize, I don't think, that ESPN and everybody else was going to take her comment and say, they're not playing football in Oregon. So I think she's walking that back, and she's saying that Oregon and Oregon State will not suffer a competitive disadvantage. I think we're all a little wondering about who's going to be in the stadiums, though. How many fans will they let in? How will they decide that? What are the conversations like in Oklahoma?
I can tell you that at OU, University of Oklahoma, they're working on models with about 30% attendance in the stadium. At Oklahoma State, they're really not working on any yet. Just about the time you get a model finished, somebody like Iowa, I think it was yesterday, Iowa says, we're going to sell all our tickets, and hopefully have a full stadium. So, it's probably premature to worry too much about that. But I do think we're going to have some fans in the stands. And 1 month ago, I would have said, no chance. Without a vaccine, there's going to be no more fans. But I think, here's part of the problem. It's become so political that it's hard to even talk about. But the truth is, forget sports for a bit. Anything you want to talk about, concerts, church, clubs or restaurants, whatever. It's hard to keep a lid on it month after month after month. But at some point, there's going to be a pressure valve that you got to release. And I think sports, football particularly, is sort of looking at September as a time when people are going to be, maybe not everybody, and positively not everybody, but a lot of people are going to be ready to get out and about, and there might be a way to accommodate them. So I think we'll have some fans in the stands to some degree, whether that's 15,000 in a 60,000-seat stadium or 30,000 in an 80,000-seat stadium, I don't know. But I think we will have some fans.
Barry, college athletics, sports in general, has struggled in recent years with the competition of the flat-screen TV and people's living rooms. The fact that we've all been sort of penned up in our living rooms with our flat-screen TVs, you think we'll have a rebound where people at some point when it's safe to go out and they feel have confidence in that they will return to stadiums, or is that an ongoing struggle?
I think it's going to stay an ongoing struggle. There will be a lot of what you said. People, going stir crazy. People ready to get out. But just as many or at least a good number are people that's going to be cautious. They're going to say, maybe I don't want to go, sit 6 inches from, 10,000 of my close family and friends that I don't even know. So, the stadium experience is not just sitting in the stands. I've I've been to both Corvallis and Eugene and for football games. And, you know, any college football, or NFL too, for that matter, any atmosphere is not just sitting in the stands. It's going through the concourses. It's entering the gates. It's the pregame revelry. Even if you're not stationary, even if you're just walking, I do a pregame radio bit at Norman. It's about three blocks north of the stadium. And the biggest mass of humanity that I go through in any year's time are those few days, those Saturdays when I walk from the campus corner area to the stadium. So that's what you're dealing with when you have a football game with thousands and thousands of fans. So there's going to be some people that say, you know what, I'll watch it on TV and I'll come back next year. But there will be a lot of people that's just ready to say, you know what, I got to do something. Let's play some football. I'm ready to go watch.
Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman is our guest. Barry, Oklahoma State, terrific on offense last year, especially against Oregon State. It was a lot of fun to see them play. How different will they be this season?
I think they're going to be a lot alike. They got, you know, they got all the three main guys back. They got the quarterback returning. That was his debut. He was Spencer Sanders, a redshirt freshman. That was his first game ever, Corvallis. Then they got the tailback, Chuba Hubbard. They got the wideout, Tyvon Wallace. Both are All-American types. So I think they'll be really good on offense, and the offensive line looks solid. So I think they'll be really good on offense. Like usual, it's going to be a question of defense. So, you know, the one thing you don't know is, you know, spring practice got its legs cut off. I think OSU had three practices or maybe four when we shut down. You know, they're going to come back June 15th for voluntary workouts, and probably, if I was guessing, I'd say the NCAA starts allowing organized team activities July 1st. So how much will that affect teams, the lack of normal preparation? I don't know. Will it mean offenses are a little bit behind? I don't know. I think it's something to keep an eye on. But unless that dichotomy sort of changes, Oklahoma State should be in pretty good shape offensively.
Barry Trammell with us. You've been a beat writer at the Oklahoman, assistant sports editor, columnist. You're, you know, lifelong Oklahoman. The people there, I have noticed, Barry, don't always like what you write. And I think it's a tricky thing to be somebody who's native son and been there all life, and you got to walk into the grocery store. What are your interactions like with Thunder fans and Sooner fans and Cowboys fans?
You know what? It's gotten a lot better over the last several years, because the older I get, you know, I'm 59 now, and like you said, I've been here my whole life, and it's to the point where most people know me. You know, I do a 45, I don't do a full show like you do, John, but I'm on the radio 45 minutes a day. So people, even the ones that don't like me, sort of come to the point that they know me and they know who I am, and that's made it easier. Even if they get mad at me, they have to say they know where I'm coming from, and my credibility's fairly high. I think if I was doing what I'm doing and I was doing it in, you know, Kansas City or in Salt Lake City or in Birmingham, I'd been there 5 or 10 years, people, you know, would say, you don't know what you're talking about. But you know, the fact that I've been here so long, even if they get mad at me, they'll say, I didn't like that a bit, but for the most part, I like you. So it's more of that. It's more of that stuff. When they get mad at me, they don't stay mad. I guess that's the best way to put it. They don't stay mad.
I also think, like, you know, just from my experience, I think the radio allows people to know you outside of those, you know, 1,200 words that you're writing. And they get a chance to hear you talk and talk about your family, know you as a person, and then all of a sudden they go, yeah, I didn't agree with him, but I like Barry.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. They can hear your voice. You do talk about stuff unrelated to whatever topic you might be writing about it. Non-sports stuff. They get a feel for your personality. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think it helps tremendously for people to think they know you. I don't know if they actually do know you, but for them to think they know you, I think it is. I think it's been a valuable asset. I've been on the radio now 18 years out here, so most of them, you know, I get recognized. My face gets recognized quite a bit, but a lot of people recognize me by my voice. I mean, several times I've had a waiter at a restaurant or say, you know, I'd say something, and then they'll say, "Hey, you're Barry Trammell." Well, they didn't say that when I walked in. They said it when I started talking. So, you know, I think it's been an advantage to being on the radio, because you're right. I think people do at least sort of put a little bit of humanity to you when they listen to you so much.
Barry, the Oklahoma State, Oklahoma rivalry. I look at the Oregon State, Oregon rivalry, and I think Oregon State is fighting every year to try to get where Oregon is. Does that exist with Oklahoma State and Oklahoma? Is it a similar sort of struggle?
It is similar. What's strange about this one in our state is Oklahoma State has gotten really good. The last 12 years, they're in the top 12 among Power 5 conferences for total victories. They've averaged about 9.6, 9.5 wins a year for the last dozen years. They've been really good, and they're over that time, 12 years, which is a good long time. It's not 3 or 4 years. That's a dozen years. They're the second best program in the Big 12. They're much more successful than Texas has been, or Baylor, or Kansas State, or TCU. They're the number two program in the Big 12, but they just so rarely beat the Sooners that it's hard for them to get a lot of respect, even in our own state. And even their fan base is sort of resigned to the fact that they just don't, you know, they just don't do much in the Bedlam series. Mike Gundy's been a phenomenal coach. His first year was 05, so that's 15 years. He's won the Bedlam twice. He's beat them twice. And you know, they had a series, a stretch 97 through 02. OSU won three of the six games. Outside of that stretch, they haven't won much since World War II. They've won, they won in 1965, 1966, 1976, 1995, 1997, 1998, 2001, 2002, and then twice under Gundy. So like 8 or 9 times since World War II have they won that series. And we're talking 75 years. So it's so one-sided that it's hard for them to get traction with a lot of people. I would say they're sort of a stranger in their own land, and that I think nationally they get quite a bit of respect from the SEC or the Big Ten. People say, "Hey, like, great offense." Just what you said, OSU's got a great reputation for an offense. But inside the state, they just, you know, they so rarely win that it's hard for people to get too excited.
Barry Trammell with us, the columnist at the Oklahoman. Barry, what happens if the SEC says we're playing and the Pac-12's not ready, Big 12 may or may probably ready, Big 10 probably, what happens to college football if everybody's not on the same page?
Well, if it's only one conference that's the outlier, I think they just go ahead and play and say, "We'll watch you in the spring if you're playing." Now, if it's two, if the split among the Power Five is 3-2, which would probably be Big Ten and Pac-12, then I think that's different. And then I think there'd be a lot of discussions, and what we would probably have is sort of an asterisk season. We wouldn't have a real playoff. We would have we might have a championship. A champion might be crowned in December, January, but it would be sort of a, everybody would sort of admit that it's sort of a makeshift solution. So I think if it's one league that's sort of lagging behind, I think they'll just go on without them. It's a cutthroat business, sports in general, but college football, there's never been much of a culture for looking out for the other guy. So I think that's what would happen. Now, if it comes like in between conferences, that's there. You know, I could foresee a situation where within an own conference that teams move on without their fellow members. I mean, I could see the SEC telling Vanderbilt, hey, if you guys aren't ready to play, we'll play without you. That kind of thing. And ACC, I think, absolutely could do that. When you're stretching from Boston College to upstate New York down to Miami Beach, you know, anything's possible. So if that happens, then you sort of have the wild, wild west, and who knows what would happen.
Pac-12 is probably not making that playoff anyway, Barry, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Well, probably so. I actually thought the Pac-12, that one plan we saw where you play no non-conference games and everybody just plays each other in the spring, I didn't want that to happen, but it sure intrigued me. I thought, that'd be fun watching two or three Pac-12 games every Saturday in February and March. Sign me up for that. So, so I don't know what's going to happen, but it's too important financially for these five leagues. It's too important to play football for it to get too far off the rails. If they don't play football, the whole structure falls, not just, I don't mean it's crippled, it falls to its core. And I don't think they can let that happen.
Barry Trammell, you're the best. I appreciate you. Thank you for making time.
Okay, John, see you later.
All right, there he is from Oklahoma. Barry Trammell. Love that perspective. Again, if you want to support Alabama Adriana, you go to the website, Adriana Rocks. I was going to say Alabama Adriana, but AdrianaRocks.com, or go to BaldFacedTruth.com and you can link right to it. All right, you can celebrate her graduation virtually. It is going to be a graduation bash. Have fun there. Leave it here. Join the graduation celebration. Alabama Adriana has graduated from college. You've been here to watch her grow up. You can do that by going to AdrianaRocks.com, as in she rocks. Adriana has two N's, by the way. I had to look that up. Is that bad? You've only been here a few years. I was like, one N or two N's?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Sorry about that. Hey, I'm honest. You can celebrate. You can check out the graduation pictures. You can send her a word of encouragement. I know she's worked hard. She's one of these kids that has essentially done it by herself, in that she's putting herself through college. So if you, you know, have been paying attention, she's worked multiple jobs, including getting up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to go work University of Oregon football games as part of a marketing or promotions crew, and has worked on this radio show, has volunteered for the BFT Foundation, and has incurred some student loan debt, I'm sure, along the way. Am I getting that all right?
From what I heard, yes, that is all correct. I've basically been working since I've been legally allowed to work, and I think the longest I've gone, I was thinking about it the other day, the longest I've gone without a job since 16 was like 2 months.
That's impressive. You've been a grown-up for a long time. But I was getting to the point that, you know, there's an ability there. If somebody wants to buy a drink, somebody wants to make a donation or a graduation gift to you, they can do it on the website. Or if they just want to, hey, they want to offer some encouragement, there is a form there where you can essentially just say, hey, Adriana, thinking about you, congratulations on this. You can send her a note. I think she would appreciate hearing. Am I getting that right? Would you appreciate hearing from people?
Yeah, of course. I really appreciate all the nice notes that I've gotten already, and wow. I'd love to see it.
All right, there you go. They go right to her. Bypass me, right to her, which is the best thing to do. Judah Newby, how you doing, man?
Oh, so good, man. So good, all things considered. You kind of have to choose positivity in times like this, but it's beautiful weather outside, and just really enjoy the conversation on the show that we have.
And Barry Trammell was great. We got great guests coming up. I went on a North Dakota radio station earlier today with the play-by-play announcer for North Dakota State. It was a fascinating discussion, but we'll have more of that ahead. Can we jam in the Big Splash?
How about on the other side?
The other side of the break. All right. I'll tell you this. The Big Splash is NBA-related. They set a date now, apparently, on when they're going to get back to playing. We'll get more of those details as the owners meeting with Adam.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.